However, one of the things the Rambam points out in Shor Shmini is that a lot of times, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but Be'ez Hashem will see this line inside the Ramban, I think next year. However, the Ramban in Shor Shmini says that, you know, a lot of times the Rambam, you know, says his Sharashim, and they sound like a very simple point, almost self-explanatory, and certainly the way the Rambam presents it, like, you know, any idiot would realize that, of course, you know, you're going to count things this way, and this is how you've got to do it this way, etc. But the catch is that it's not so much, in many cases, not all cases, but in many of the cases, that the principle is so debatable or controversial or difficult, but rather the application of the principle, when you actually try and categorize mitzvot using these principles, there are a lot of gray areas. And it's not as simple as the Rambam often makes it out to be. Okay? And one of the things I'd like to do over the next couple of shiurim is to go through a few specific examples of cases where it may be that the principle is very simple and straightforward, but when it comes down to it, a lot depends on very subtle points in how you conceptualize a particular mitzvah, and that's going to determine how you're going to, you know, how the, in other words, there's an interface between the definition of the mitzvah and the application of these sharashim to, and how you're going to count it. So this goes back to something we talked about in the very, very first year, and that is that I'm not sure that, you know, if someone asked me, what difference does it make whether you count something as one of the Tariq mitzvot or not, whether you count it as three of them or one of them, or two, what difference does it make? At the end of the day, the answer is probably it doesn't. Right? It doesn't really matter unless you're writing a piyut, you know, organized according to the Tariq mitzvot. However, through learning what the Gaonim and Rishonim have to say about this, okay, we often have really a window into how these Gaonim and Rishonim understood many of the mitzvot. Okay? And as an example of that, I think I might have alluded to this very briefly, but just want to start to show you for a second. If you've ever seen the Rav Sizek Gaon Sefer HaMitzvot, it's about a page long, maybe 2 pages, depending on how big the print. But this, as you see on the cover, is right. If you haven't ever used a sefer, it's a phenomenal, phenomenal sefer called Sefer Mitzvot Rav Sizek Gaon. Okay, so I mean, get you exercise for the day, right? You know, it's crazy, but all of Sefer Mitzvot Rav Sizek Gaon, he devotes, if you have to figure, you know, do the math, he devotes about 2 words per mitzvah, generally speaking, 2-3 words, that's it. He devotes 2-3 words to each mitzvah, multiplied by 613. That's not a very long, that's hardly a sefer, that's a, you know, short essay. And yet, we have this huge sefer. The reason for that is, and this is a phenomenal work, and it's really important to be familiar with if you're at all interested in, well, a lot of things. Tariq mitzvot, how the various Gaonim and Rishonim count the Tariq mitzvot, each of the individual mitzvot, or all of them, and Shas, and there's all kinds of stuff that this is very useful for. What he did was, Rav Perlow, who was a tremendous Tremendous Gadol, what he did was he spent about 40 years writing this, and it's incredible work. And what he does is to first of all discuss all the Sharashim. He discusses how the various Monei HaMitzvot went about counting the mitzvot. In other words, the Rambam tells us how he went about doing it, but the Bahag, Rav Sadya Gaon, right, and so on down the line, he goes through what were their sharashim. That's an amazing job of reconstruction from the few words that these people say. I mean, you look at the Bahag, it's a tiny little, you know, couple of pages on the mitzvot. The same thing Rav Sadya Gaon and others. The Ramban just has, you know, his particular hasagot. He doesn't even, like, always tell you what he's thinking. So it's an amazing job of reconstructing each of these, and in the course of doing that, he discusses each of these mitzvot and the sugyot relating to them, and we've shown him and so on and so forth. It's just now the point being that really, you know, if you're studying all kinds of sugyot and shas, this is a phenomenal sefer, because he will discuss how this Rishon understood this area of halakha, how that Rishon, how this Gaon, etc., based on their work on Minyan HaMitzvot, you know, and so, and I say, this is an example, of how this serves as a prism for this type of thing. Okay, so what I'd like to do now is to just look at one tiny area of that today, and Ezra Hashem will maybe do another one over the next day or two. Hashorash HaShvi'i, She'ein Ra'oi Limnot Dikdukei HaMitzvot. Okay. You shouldn't count the details, the halachot of a particular mitzvah as individual mitzvah. And the Ramban, the Rambam takes as an example, okay, Mashal Bezeh, the second line, Hachalitza Vayibum Himshtei Mitzvot Asei. Bezeh Mash Ein Cholek Bo Ukishtakalnu Din Shtei Mitzvot Eil Mitzvot Asei Uminshi Umashi Yitzchayev Behem Lefi Haktamot HaToriot Yitzchayev Shetiyena Ksat HaNashim Chotzot V'lo Mityabmot Ksat O Ksatan Mityabmot V'lo Chotzot Ksatan O Chotzot O Mityabot Ksatan Lo Chotzot V'lo Mityabmot V'chein HaNashim Gam Kein K'lo Mahivamim Ksatan Chotzim V'lo Miyabmim Ksatan Miyabmim V'lo Chotzim Ksatan Lo Chotzim O Miyabmim Ksatan Lo Chotzim V'lo Miyabmim V'chein Tzai Hayivamot Ksatan Chotzim So, lezer mitiapol lezer, ksatan chotzot lezer, lezer mitiapol lezer lezer, umehen mutarol baalehem, vasarol mehem, mutarol mehem, vasarol baalehem, vasul elu veelu, mutarol elu veelu, veilu maninu kol chelik meelu adikdukim mitzvah b'tnei atzma, haya ole minyan chalkei masecha yivamot levada yoter mimatayim mitzvot. Okay, so Rambam takes an example. The basic areas that are discussed in Masechta Yevamot, the Masechta Yevamot deals with other things as well, but deals with primary mitzvot dealt with in Masechta Yevamot, namely the mitzvah of Yibum and Chalitza. And he says, if you were to take the various halachot, right, that this type of a relationship you have to do Chalitza but not Yibum, that's one mitzvah. Another mitzvah that this in this situation you do, you know, Chalitza or Yibum. And so on down the line. All the different halachot that are said and formulate them as a statement, right, as a lav or as an assay. In this case, you have to do yim. You would take just the core of Masechta Yevamot, not even the whole Masechta, but the core of Masechta Yevamot deals with yim chalitza. Instead of being two mitzvot, it would be over 200 mitzvot, right? And then you go through the Targ mitzvot that way. And some mitzvot are not like that, but many are, and you would end up with thousands and thousands, if not tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of mitzvot. So Ram says that you don't count the particulars of the mitzvot as mitzvot, but the mitzvah is yibum. Now, that in this case you do yibum, in this case you don't do yibum, or you do chalitza, or you do either or, so that's a detail. That's not a mitzvah itself. Okay, the mitzvah is yibum, the mitzvah is chalitza. Simple enough, right? And anyone would say, sounds good, makes a lot of sense, right? We're not going to count, you know, each detail of, you know, and each halacha. There's a difference between a halacha and the mitzvah, right? The halacha are how you fulfill that mitzvah, but then you have the mitzvah. Okay, I understand that. That's simple enough, right? Until you start thinking about actual mitzvah and try to figure out, well, what is a mitzvah and what is a halacha of that mitzvah, and then it starts getting much trickier. Okay, so as the expression goes, the devil is in the details, right? The principle is simple enough. When you try to apply it and you have to deal with actual cases, that's when it gets a little fuzzier. Okay, that's what the Ramban points out, you know, and because the Ramban presents every one of the Shorashim, as far as I can think offhand, certainly most of them, very, you know, Pashat, and the Ramban at some point says, you know, it's not so Pashat, because, yeah, it's true that the principles may be in many cases Pashat, but the application is much more complicated. So let's look at one particular mitzvah, just, and see how this fits in, and I think Agav will see some interesting things about that particular mitzvah, which is not a bad bonus. To say the least. So the Rambam in Mitzvah Aseh Lamed Gimel says something very simple. He says Hamitzvah Lamed Gimel Hisha Nitztavu HaKohanim Lubosh Begadim. Right, Mitzvah Lamed Gimel is the Chiyuv of Big Day Kohuna. Big Day Kohuna is one of the Tired Mitzvah according to the Rambam. Okay, Lubosh Begadim Yuchadim L'Chavod Tifaret V'Az Ya'avod V'Az Ya'avod B'Mikdash. V'hu amro yitala, right? That's what Hashem says in the Torah. V'asita big day kosh le'aron achicha l'chavod u'tifaret. V'banecha takriv l'vashtam k'tonot, etc. U'kishi avod ha-kohen b'pachot me'abgadim shehem yuchadim b'avodahi o b'yoter mehem avodato p'sula v'chayav imze mita b'day shamayim. Okay, rotze lomar mechusa b'gadim sh'avad. So mechusar begadim sh'avad, which returns this concept in a little bit, as Hashem, mechusar begadim sh'avad is chayav misa b'day shamayim. Why? Why? We'll see in a moment. Lechem manu oto b'gemar Sanhedrin, and so too this counts in the Gemar in Sanhedrin. B'chol mechuyave mita b'day shamayim. V'lo ba zeh katur b'vei'or. There is no explicit pasuk that says it's misa b'day shamayim for a kohen who did the avodah mechusar begadim, right, without the proper garments. Aval ba'katuv, there is a pasuk which says v'chagarta otam avnei b'chulei v'ayta lahem kuhuna l'chukat olam uva b'feirush. And the Torah Shebaal Peh teaches us bizman shebigdehem aleihem kunatan aleihem aval bizman she'ein bigdehem aleihem ein kunatam aleihem v'havu l'hu zarim v'nei niva'er Kizar Shishimesh B'mita. Says the Rambam, there is no explicit source that says that a Kohen who is Ove Mechusa Begadim gets Misa B'day Shamayim. But it's based on the following. We do find that a Kohen who is Mechusa Begadim is considered to be a Zar. Okay? That's the Gemara in Zvachim on Yizayim and Beth. Next last source here, which says Mechusa Begadim Minalan Amar Rabbi Avuha Amar Rabbi Yochanan Umatuba Mishmeid Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon to Amar Kra V'chagartal Tamavneit Aron Uvanav V'chavashtal Emigbaot V'aytal Lahem Kuna L'chukat Olam. So we learn from there Bizman Shebigdeyem Aleihem Kunatam Aleihem Ein Bigdeyem Aleihem Ein Kunatam Aleihem. They're not dressed in Bigdey Kuna, so it's a Chisaron in their Kuhuna. They're considered Zar, and since they're a Zar, Zar Shashimesh is Misa B'day Shamayim. Okay? So far? That's the Rambam. Very simple and straightforward. Okay? No problem. There are others who do not count a Mitzvah Aseh, a Big Day Kahuna. Okay? Rav Perlo mentioned before, not one of the Monei Mitzvah, but he explained the Shita of the Bahag to be that there is no mitzvah of the Kohanim wearing Big Day Kahuna. There's a mitzvah on Bnei Yisrael to make Big Day Kahuna for the Kohanim. Okay, so he understands a little bit. But in any case, this is how the Rambam formulates it. Hi shenet stavu ha-kohanim, luvosh, begadim, yuchadim, etc. The Ramban comes along on this mitzvah. Okay, it's the next source here, the third source on the page. Katav harav, v'mitzvah shloshim v'shalosh, שסבו הכהנים לבוש בגדים וגדולה וכבוד ואז יעבוד במקדש והוא אמרו יפרח ועשית בגדי קודש etc. והנה זו עם פשיטותה בכתוב ועריכות התורה בביאורה. Despite the fact of the Ramban that there's certainly no, you know, shortage of psukim that discuss Big Day Kahuna, right? We have long discussion of Big Day Kahuna in the Torah, and the Sefer Shemot, Parashat, for example, a lot of psukim about the Big Day Kahuna. But lo ra'iti lebal halachot shiim ne'ota. I don't find that the Baha'i counted this, interestingly enough. Aval mana baladim, mechus abgadim sheshimesh. This has a lav of mechus abgadim who did the avot. V'da'ato zot lomar. And the way the Ramban understands this, the kevan de'im b'levishat gadim shelo b'sh'at avodah shum mitzvah, Eino ela hechsher ha'avoda she'im avan b'pachot mehen b'yoter k'vasa avodato v'inehu chelek mi'mitzvat avoda im avad bahen k'vanit ba'er she'im monim chokei ha'mitzvot. So whether this klal shorash bet or shorash zayin is a little tricky, and I don't have an easy answer to that. But be that as it may, the basic point, and it's the reason why I talk about shorash zayin here. But in any case, we'll get to that in a little bit. Ramban basically is saying, to paraphrase slightly, Ramban says that why is the Bahag not counted as a separate mitzvah, right? Because no mitzvah of wearing big day kahuna. The only time when there's a mitzvah to wear big day kahuna is when you do the avoda. Since the only time there's a mitzvah is when you're doing the avoda, what does that mean? What is big day kahuna really? What is really big day kahuna? Yeah? Exactly. It's one of the halachot of how you do the avoda, right? One of the halachot in the halachot of karbanot, of avoda, etc., is that you need to have big day kahuna. So one could say that big day kahuna is a detail in the avoda, which is already, you know, various mitzvot. Or you could say slightly differently that it is a subcategory of what else might you subsume it under? Say that it's a halacha of zar, right? Part of the halacha that someone who's a non-kohen can't do the avoda, right? So since lacking big day kahuna means that you're a zar, right? That you're a non-kohen and you only have the full status of kahuna for avoda. If you're wearing big day kahuna, so one could say that's subcategory of zar. But either way, that should be a hechsher mitzvah. It should be part of one of the halachot of one of these mitzvahs. It shouldn't be its own mitzvah. Okay? So now, look how tricky it is, right? In other words, in principle, it's so simple. It's so simple. You only count the mitzvah. You don't count all the different halachot of the mitzvah. But is the halacha that kohanim have to wear big day kahuna, is that a mitzvah? Or is that simply a halacha of the karbanot, halacha of kuna, whatever, right? And is that a detail of what makes someone, just like, you know, that this woman is miyabim or not, is just a detail in how, you know, in the midst of yibum, and how you fulfill that, and how you carry that out. So part of the halacha of kahuna, or part of the halacha of avoda, or part of the halacha of zarus, or whatever you want to say, is that without big day kahuna, you're a zar, and therefore you can't do the avoda. Or part of the requirement of bringing a carbon is that you have to have part of the halacha of avoda, that you have to have big day kahuna. So however you want to put it, right, however you want to put it, we should say what? What should we say? That it's not a separate mitzvah. Who says it's a separate mitzvah? Right? So here we have this principle, which the Rambam says, pashut, very straightforward. The Ramban has no problems with the Yisod. Very nice. Of course, Ramban's not going to say that we're going to count, you know, over 200 halachot of Masechet Yevamah with a separate mitzvah. Of course, he'll agree to that. The Bahag will certainly agree to that. The Bahag does not count every individual halacha as a separate mitzvah, otherwise, he wouldn't have Tayag mitzvah either. There's certainly more than 613 halachot. But take something as simple as Big Day Kahuna, which we have entire, you know, prakim in Torah about, and, you know, all these specific psukim about do this, do that. But do I consider that to be a prat in a different halacha, or is it, right, or is it a mitzvah in and of itself? So the truth of the matter is that there is no easy way to answer that question, and that's really, to a large degree, the point that I want to bring out in today's shiur. That's part, I mean, it's a little more that I want to bring out, but that's part of what I'm bringing out. I think that's very important to understand, really, to begin to understand the shirashim of Sefer Mitzvah as well as, you know, Sefer Mitzvah in general and all things that are related. There's a crucial point to understand this, that very often it's not that the Baha'i is arguing about principles, but about the application of the principles, although he does have differences of opinion with the Rambam about principles as well. So let's try to think about Big Day Kahuna for just a few moments and see how this fits in and how there's this interface, as I said, between the way that we define the particular mitzvah, in this case Big Day Kahuna, okay, and Mechusa B'Gadim and all of these ideas, and the concept of you know, Shor Hashvi She'en Roi Limnot Dukduke Amitz. So first of all, why do I say Shoresh Shvi? The Ramban mentions Shoresh Yud Bet. So it's based on Rav Avraham ben Arambam. Again, in Matan Nisim, the same series of discussions between Rabbeinu Daniel HaBavli and Rabbeinu Avraham ben Arambam, and he talks about Mechusa Begadim. Okay, he says Amnam Mechusa Begadim Vanyan Bo Barur. Ki hu af al pi she'eino mifurash b'katuv, aval kvar manu oto ba'alei ha-kabbalah mechlal mechuyavei mita b'dei shamayim. V'inyano ki inyan tful yom sheshimesh asher kadam b'yuro. V'yadua ki mechusar b'gadim asher madregato madregat zar b'ktsar eino b'emet zar. So Rav Avraham has a very intriguing line here, which he says, well, Mechusa Begadim is kind of like a czar, but he's not really a czar. Okay? Now, does he simply mean that he has the halachic status of a czar, but of course he is Mizar Aaron, right? Just that he's, or does he mean more than that? Does he mean something more conceptual than that? And I tend to think that he means more than that, but we'll return to that as Hashem in a little bit. He says, therefore, Valkein lo yaspik minyano b'minyan zar. I can't just subsume it under the category of zar. Okay? V'od ki lo manazal mechusar begadim b'lav aval manal mechlal mitzvot asay. The Ram doesn't count this as a lot asay, but as an asay. Okay? Asher zichra mizrei chazal. Mosaf al mefarash b'kra, etc. And then he says, so then he goes on to say, he counts minyan mechus begadim b'asei ki lo yitachein achalat halot asei v'asei minyan mipnei chiluv tzurat haminyan v'alkein kvar nitba'er mashe shrisal b'shorosh hazeh v'nitba'tlu akushov v'baru eich shavu anafim el shashal and so on and so forth. In other words, Rav Avraham says that you can't count Mechusa Begadim, you can't count this together with Zar, because it's a different, first of all, one's an Asay and one's Lo Tasay, and second of all, Zar and Mechusa Begadim aren't exactly the same thing. Okay, they're fundamentally different. The question is, how so? What does it mean? So, I just want to share with you a very short thing, but I think it's very intriguing, and I'm going to share with you very quickly, and I may suggest a perspective. And again, this is just an example of what the Ramban is talking about, that, you know, that the principles may sometimes be simple, the application is much trickier, and really, really the whole process of counting and not counting and categorizing the entire mitzvah is very, very fascinating in terms of just how we conceptualize the various mitzvahs themselves and the halachos, and therefore, I mean, I find all the time when I learn Sefer HaMitzvot, personally, for myself, you know, the Rambam and the Ramban, both in the Sharashim and the various mitzvot, that there are constantly things that it sheds light on and that's relevant to in terms of all kinds of different sugyot throughout Shas. So let's just take a look at this one example. Tosin Kedushin, as well as other Rishonim, but myself at Tosa, the Ritva has a similar discussion, slightly different but similar. Tosin Kedushin on Vav Mitzvot says something fascinating. It's an incredible Tosfot. Tiny, just one little piece of Tosfot. It's remarkable. It says like this. It says, V'im Toma. The Gemara says that there's a halacha that that where you need a Kohen, so even though there's such a thing as Kohenet, even though a woman is also has certain halachot of Kohuna, and there's a difference between Kohenet Bat Kohen on the one hand and a Bat Levi Bat Yisrael on the other hand. Bat Levi is different, but there's different, you know, there is a special status of Bat Kohen, but in terms of the Avodah, you need a Kohen who's a male. Says Tosfot, I don't understand. Why do I need a special halacha? B'nei Aaron v'lo b'not Aaron. Why do I need a special halacha? I don't need a special halacha. I have a different reason why it is that they would not, that the avoda wouldn't be kshera with a bat kohen. What's that? Because, and this is a little tricky, I'm only going to deal with one aspect of this because it's the part that's relevant for us. It says, "Im talmai tepuk le dechol hani inam ksheir benashim lefi shehem mechusrei begadim." Simple, mechusrei begadim is a zar. At the avodah is possible because the mechusrei begadim. Okay, because they're not wearing big day kahuna. Daha Amar Perkbet Dizvachim, the Gemara we saw a moment ago. Dafil Kohanim Bizman Shein Bigdeim Aleim In Kuhunatam Aleim. Okay? So since without Bigde Kuhuna, a person, even if they are totally, a Kohen in every set, nonetheless, without Bigde Kuhuna, they're not. They're Kizar, and therefore they have Misa for being, for doing the Avodah. So, the same thing should be true here. So Tosa gives two different answers. It's good to hear everyone sitting down. You can hear these two answers. First answer, V'yesh l'omar, D'mayri shalav shuat avgadim. The first answer is, maybe it's talking about where they did wear a big day kahuna. Now why that's such a huge chiddush, say, well, why is Tosa assuming until now that they weren't wearing big day kahuna? Okay, so that's something which we could easily explain, but it's just not the topic of today's shiur, so I'm not going to get involved with it. Basically, the point is that I think what at least part of what Tosfos is saying is that the assumption is that they're not wearing Bidei Kahuna because the mitzvah Bidei Kahuna is said specifically to men. Okay, but let's go a step further. Okay, so that's okay. So it's time, but they did wear Bidei Kahuna. So they wore Bidei Kahuna, so you need a halacha b'nei Aaron v'lo b'nei. But then Tosfos continues, and this is an amazing answer. Okay, ready? This is the Ritva. So this is also, it's mind-boggling. Inami yeshlomar kevan shalon istavu bivig de kahuna lo havu mechusrei begadim. Or you can say that without the halacha b'nei Aaron v'lo b'nos Aaron, I would have said that a bat kohen who does the avoda, it would be kasher without big de kahuna. Even though the Gemara says Bizman Shebigdeim Aleim Kunatam Aleim, it only applies to men, not to women. Therefore, says Tosfot. Therefore, in other words, originally we thought that the Havmina was originally we thought that in the abstract, what possibilities exist? So in the first possibility, before the Gemara says B'nei Aaron, I'd say, well, if a woman were to do the avoda, it would be good, but only if she was wearing Bidei Kahuna, because otherwise she'd be a zar, right? Not a zar, because she's the descendant of Aaron, but Bat Kohen. So, but she needs Bidei Kahuna. Anyone needs Bidei Kahuna in order to not be a zar. That's possibly number one. Gemara says, no, B'nei Aaron V'lo B'nos Aaron, right? That a woman is... By the way, it's interesting that I don't think anyone says, and check it out, but I doubt, that anyone says that B'nei Aaron V'lo B'nos Aaron, right, the fact that should be a separate mitzvah. Even though by Begadim, the suggestion, not only a suggestion, that's what Rambam holds. That's a mitzvah say, right? Mechusa begadim, even though a woman who does the avodah, right, lemaskana, is a zar, and therefore, right, so lechor is parallel to halacha mechusa begadim, and yet by mechusa begadim, the Rambam counts as a mitzvah say, not so, right, b'nei aron v'lo b'nos aron. The question is why? Why should that be? Okay? So I think, so then we have this last possibility the third possibility, which is like another half a minute, that if it weren't for the halacha b'nei Aaron v'lo b'nos Aaron, that women would be ksheros le'avoda even without big day kahuna. So how would that work exactly? Why would that be?
How is that different from the second answer?
No, see, the maskana of the Gemara, the second possibility is that we say that a woman who wore bigdei kahuna, right, would be possible because is possible because of bnei Aaron v'lo bnos Aaron. Okay, but then Tosfot here gives a second havamina, okay, that without the halacha bnei Aaron v'lo bnos Aaron, I would have said that not only are women ksheros, you know, to do the avodah, but even without bigdei kahuna, okay, which is really amazing because if it's much for example, I'm knasim alam. So, you know, we're not willing to sugya on, you know, a limit to how deeply we're going to go into this. I want to wrap up in the next minute or so. But what I want to just point out is the following. It seems to me that there is an approach in Rishonim that's a very interesting one. I think it doesn't require explanation, but it's a very fascinating one. And that's the following. That it's not the case. Again, there's one approach to Mishnah. It's not the case that a person, let's say, you know, we're looking at the level of Kedusha, you know, going up the scale, right? So that a person, we have Yisrael, there's Yisrael, then we have someone who is a Kohen, and then we have someone who's a Kohen plus that wearing Big Day Kahuna, and that's the threshold for bringing a carbon. And it's like you need that, the Big Day Kahuna, in order to make them into a Kohen, which is a simple reading of the Gemara, and that's only the first Pshat Tosfot. The second Pshat Tosfot is very different. And the second Pshat in Tosfot is that it's not that the Big Day Kahuna per se adds to the Kedusha Kohen. It's the fact that there's a chiyuv to be wearing the Big Day Kahuna and I'm not, that makes me into a Zar. It's not that, in other words, it's not that a Kohen without Big Day Kahuna is neutral, right, and lacking in something positive, but it's rather that there's a negative. It's the fact that he ought to be wearing Big Day Kahuna and is not, that takes him from the category of a Kohen into the category of a Zah, right? And there are several reflections of that perspective. What I'm saying is that, like this, Rav Ramban Arambam says that there is a fundamental difference between a Zah in the sense that he's not Mizera Aaron and a Zar in the sense that he's not wearing Bidei Kahuna. Why? But it's the same thing. It's not the same thing. One is coming from one direction conceptually, and one's coming from the other direction, right? And they may meet someplace in the middle, but they're coming from different places. The person who's not Mizera Aaron is lacking in something fundamentally. That's the point. In other words, he doesn't have Kedusha Kohen. But the person who the Kohen is not wearing Bidei Kahuna, right? In other words, it's like a psul, it's like a mum. And the point is that it's something that puzzles him because of the fact that he has a chiyuv to wear Bidei Kahuna. And therefore, Tosfot and the Ritva and others entertain the possibility, say Lamaskana, that if someone were to have Kedusha Kahuna and at the same time not have a mitzvah Big Day Kahuna, there would be no problem with their doing the avodah without Big Day Kahuna. That being the case, we understand several things. We understand number one, why it is that Rambam distinguishes between a zar, right, and between mechusar begadim. I think we understand also, well, certainly, you know, understand something about what Tosfos is saying here about inami yeshlom akevin zlon istavu. But more than that, if you look at the way the Rambam formulates it, indeed the way Chazal formulates it, it's very, very interesting, because the way that's described is mechusar begadim. Okay? Mechusar begadim means not that it's because they don't have begadim, but because there's a lack of begadim. In other words, it expresses something more active, more of, you know, a real negative than just a lack of something. Mechusa begadim means that there's this gam that they're mechusa begadim. And if you look at the way the Rambam puts it, the Rambam doesn't say that the avoda is only kshera if you have big day kahuna. Therefore, you need big day kahuna. Not at all. It says there's a chiyah for the kohanim to have big day kahuna, and therefore there's a concept of mechusa begadim. You know what I'm saying? In other words, it's the fact that there's a chiyuv to have a big day kahuna that creates the psul and creates the zaris, etc. If you look at the way the Rambam puts in Mitzalam Gimel, right? He says Mitzalam Gimel. Now, Mishnah come with Livbos begadim, etc. And then he goes on to say, therefore, there's a concept of mechusa begadim sha'avad, and for that reason. Right, he becomes a czar, and so on and so forth. There's the train of thought in the Rambam, I think, reflects this idea, and really, where it's, and this is, of course, the point of today's shiur, where does it all begin, in a sense? It all begins with the fact that the Rambam counts Big Day Kahuna as a separate mitzvah. Right? So Ramban says, we need a separate mitzvah. It's not a separate mitzvah. The only time you need Big Day Kahuna is to do the Avodah, so why should it be a separate mitzvah? Right? Not a separate mitzvah, it's the Heksha for the Avodah. Or, as Ramban says, maybe you want to count it as just a detail in Zarut. It's a halacha in Avodah, halacha in Zarut, halacha in Kahuna. No. If the Pshat were that, well, you need a kohen in order for him to be a kohen, so he has to have big day kahuna to make him to a kohen. So eichinami, then it would be a detail in one of these other halachos, and we wouldn't count it as a separate mitzvah. The whole point is that the starting point is that there is a chiyuv to wear big day kahuna when you do, and there are limitations when you're doing the avodah, etc. It shouldn't matter that that's the difference between kohen gadol and kohen hedyon, and that's one of the reasons why some may count. One idea is to count Big Day Kohen Gadol, not Big Day Kohen Hedyot. But that's not the Rambam Shita. The Rambam Shita says it's all one mitzvah, Kohen Gadol, Kohen Hedyot. He says this in many places, Kohen Mikdash, etc. Over here. Point is that for the Rambam, the point is that it starts not with that this is a requirement for the Avodah, that this is part of the definition of Kahuna. That's not where it starts from. In principle, you could have, in theory, we don't happen to have such a thing, but in theory, you could have a Kohen who's a Kohen without Big Day Kahuna, and who does the Avodah without Big Day Kahuna. Where do you see that? You see that in this Tosaf, right? That's why you need a special halacha, B'nai Aaron v'lo B'not Aaron. Because if it weren't for that special halacha, a B'nai Aaron and not B'not Aaron, what would I have said? That a Bat Kohen could do the Avodah without Big Day Kahuna. So what do you see from that? It's not a requirement. It's not a detail in Kahuna. It's not a detail in Zarut. It's not a detail in the Avodah. It's that the Torah's Mechayiv, the Kohanim, to wear Big Day Kahuna, and part of that is that since you have that requirement, if not, then you're lacking in something that's part of how you're supposed to express your Kahuna. And so we have then halacha mechusrei begadim, we have halacha of kizar, and so on and so on and so on. All of those things, right? The question is where you're starting from. And the truth of the matter is, this very quickly, the truth of the matter is that ostensibly, we often have to ask this question when we have a kind of symbiotic relationship between a chiyuv and an isur, right? We have to ask, what's the starting point? Okay, what's the starting point? Which way does it go? And it's gonna introduce very quickly. And it's just to do this properly takes many hours. So I'm not gonna try to do it. But I just want to mention this. You often have this kind of chicken and egg relationship between, you know, where conceptually it's very hard to pin down the starting point. As we have here by Big Day Kahuna, right, the mitzvah Big Day Kahuna, Mechusar Kippurim, Mechusar Begadim. I just want to give you a few very quick examples in a very, very different realm where this comes up. We have a halacha, and again, what I'm saying may not be 100% accurate, at least according to some, but I just say it's in broad strokes. To ask ourselves, for example, when you have again, this is ostensibly true, maybe it's, you know, don't write in ink, write in pencil, but just throughout the idea, you know, one could ask the question about, and it comes up particularly in the context of onein, right? An onein is not allowed to do isurim, but an onein is also, according to Rashi, not mechuyev, according to Tosfos, where we paskin, not allowed to do isurim. So we have a lot of things where there is this kind of chicken and egg relationship, just like you have by Big Day Kahuna and Mechus Begadim. For example, so we all know that there's a chiyuv of Netilat Yadayim, and you're not allowed to eat bread without Netilat Yadayim. Okay, so normally the two go hand in hand, and like, you know, you don't stop to think, well, you know, which is it, right? What's the difference? Whether it's that I have to wash my hands in order to eat the bread, or whether I can't eat the bread without washing my hands. It's the same thing, right? Well, what about an onein? Okay, so we say that an onein should not be able to, you know, should have to wash his hands because it's usher to eat without, to eat the bread without washing his hands. We say, well, it's not mechuyev to wash his hands because he's patur from mitzvah. Okay. The answer happens to be that he has to wash his hands because it's usher to eat without washing. That's the way that halacha is formulated. Take another example. Havdalah. Right, it's a whole discussion. What does an onein do? On the one hand, you have to make havdalah before you eat. On the other hand, you can't eat without making havdalah. Right? So he wants to eat Motzei Shabbos, but he's an onein. Does he make havdalah? But he's patur from mitzvah. But he wants to eat. He can't eat without making havdalah. Right? That was a whole discussion. We showed him, how does that work? Right? In the third parak of Brahma, there's a whole discussion of how that works. The bottom line is that because he's an oni, he's allowed to eat without making havdalah. So that's the opposite example of what we have by Netilat Yadayim. Right? And then it comes to an example of what about bracha? It's a really tricky one, right? Asulena melama zebula bracha. On the other hand, misses to make bracha. So there it's ferish, then onein eats without making bracha. So that's a little tricky about which comes first and why. And okay, so, and that's a whole complicated sugya, and you're learning this to make bracha. That's a major, major question, and involves Rechi Vega and Daf Yubed, and involves many, many things in Mishonim, the sixth parak of Bracha. I'm simply saying that, you know, and it may be that in the end, the way that I formulated the question in this particular context is inaccurate and needs to be reformulated because the whole halach of onein is a little different. That could be. However, be that as it may, I'm just saying that there are like all these cases where, you know, it's very tricky in terms of the process, even though the concept is very, very simple. And halachah is like that in general, right? So it's like that in general. But anyhow, here we have an example where different people will formulate, will place Big Day Kahuna in different, you know, different categories, and the Bahag does it one way, and the, you know, Rasadi going, and the Ramban, and the, I'm sorry, the Rambam and the Ramban all look at it different ways. Why? Because even though we may all agree that, you know, of course you're not going to count each individual halacha and detail another halacha and different mitzvah as a separate mitzvah, but comes Big Day Kahuna, and it all depends on how you look at the mitzvah of Big Day Kahuna. Is it something that is primarily making someone into a kohen? Is it a simply a detail in karbanot and it belongs there? Is it a separate chiyuv that's given that because that chiyuv exists, therefore it generates all kinds of halachot in kahuna and zarat and in karbanot and so on and so forth? Different ways of looking at it, right? Even though we're starting from the same basic principle, we're going to apply that principle of Shorash Zion and Shorash Yudet, which are very similar in their own right, hard to distinguish, but it's a different story. That's going to be a whole, you know, whole can of worms, how to apply it, even though the principle seems to be extremely simple. Okay? Ezra Hashem, tomorrow, we know there's no unforeseen programming issues. Hope to continue with a little piece of Shorash Shmini. Hope to take a look at Shorash Shmini together with a little bit of discussion about a whole bunch of things in the Rambam, including how we understand the mitzvah, or the Easter rather, of Lo Tirtzach and many other related issues in mitzvah throughout the Rambam and throughout Shas, and an impact on a lot of interesting questions. But anyhow, okay. Thank you. Okay. Non-positive?
Yeah, thanks.